Ash Wednesday. It's just a little ash. You've seen this before. In the tradition, the burnt palms from the previous year's Palm Sunday. And what are ashes? They're a product of burning something away. They're what's left once the fire passes over or through something. A byproduct, the carbon that did not become airborne, something we talk a lot about these last few years. So why tonight? Why put this waste product on our foreheads? Where did this curious tradition come from, and what does it mean? Firstly, these ashes are a reminder of what we are. The Bible tells us we came from the dust, and to the dust we shall return. Now, dust, the study of dust has moved a long way since the book of Genesis was written. We were formed from the dust of the earth. We now come to understand that this dust is from once exploding stars. Cosmic. And when God breathed life into that cosmic dust, scraped or taken from the earth, as Genesis envisages God as a potter, taking up the dust of the earth, when God breathed into that, it became a living being in the image of God. A deep mystery. It's there in the first book of the Bible, and we keep needing to go there. Dust. That's a powerful story, and it's one that establishes that without the breath of the Spirit of God within us, we are just dust, as represented by those ashes in that bowl over there. Lifeless, worthless, without life. Then secondly, we put these ashes on our foreheads as a sign and a symbol. A sign and a symbol. In popular English, those words get mixed up, but they're quite different. A sign literally points to something. A symbol somehow takes part in what it's representing. Lent is a time of mourning over our sins and our sinful nature. A time of being focused and proactive about changing. Religious people can change our ways and seeking transformation. It points to that, and it takes part in that. In Old Testament times, as you probably know, it was common for people who were mourning to dress in sackcloth and put ashes on their head, seriously dressing down. There are several stories in the Bible where the people come to God and sit in sackcloth and ashes. Now that's an approach to prayer that's probably never been suggested to you. Put on your worst clothes, throw dust over yourself, and just sit there. Here I am, a sorry mess. And this form of prayer is to show repentance, is to actually act out, to participate in, to demonstrate. Sitting before God, seeking his repentance. And these ashes are meant to be for us tonight symbols of our repentance. We actually take part in it. It becomes part of us, much as the sacraments use bread and wine and water. and signs that point to our earnestly seeking God. The people in the Bible probably put ashes on the top of their head. I've done a lot of dusty work in the last year. Dust through your hair is not pleasant. It comes as sort of a messy mat. It's hard to wash out. Well, that was the way ash was used in biblical times. We instead put some on our forehead. Why do we do that? We do it because that sort of application speaks of sealing. Not the sealing of a room, but the closing off, the marking off of something. In most churches, when someone is baptized, the minister or the priest uses oil to mark or seal the person being baptized with the sign of the cross. You can look forward to that in a few months. This anointing with the cross is now replicated with the cross of ashes. Both are reminders of the mark of the Lamb, as is described in the Revelation of John. The mark of the cross is a mark of ownership. That may be a challenging idea for contemporary people, that we are owned, not by a church, a nation, or an organization, but we're owned by God because his mark is willingly put on us. And tonight, again, with the ashes, the symbol of repentance, the sign of our willingness to engage in that, we are again marked with that cross, that sign of ownership. Now, these might just be a few ashes, but from what I've said already, they mean a lot. They're a symbol of our need for God, our poverty of spirit. They declare that we are nothing but dust and ashes apart from the life of God in us. God, without you, I am nothing. I feel to say God is not just a sort of top-up or the complement of all that we manage to achieve, but fundamentally, without God, we are dust. And they speak of our repentance and our mourning, speaking outwardly of what we are about inwardly, that we are sorry and we are mournful for the evil and the hurtful things we've done. As the Beatitudes, that great sermon of Jesus on the Mount, advocate, we who mourn the sin within us can expect God's comfort. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. And that points to that journey of prayer in Lent. That in mourning, we may meet God. Jesus said so. Mid last century, Dietrich Bonhoeffer coined a phrase to describe the typical Protestant or evangelical attitude to God's forgiveness: cheap grace. Cheap grace. Grace, as you probably are aware, is one of the major emphases of the Protestant Reformation. A swing away from thinking that you can earn your salvation to realizing it's God's gift. But what if that grace is made cheap? Ashes are for me a jolt away from cheap grace. They're a step towards having the blood of Christ, as it were, splattered on me. a confrontation with the depth and the power and even the awful ugliness of it. This is serious. Our salvation and God's forgiveness is not a ho-hum or a theological process that can be just enacted and assured. It's dark stuff, sin, and it clings to me like ash, like that mark. And it is for that that Christ took up his cross for me. A jolt out of cheap grace. So that's a bit of a theological reflection for today. I've got a very short pastoral message. Lent is about repenting. So it's 5 weeks, this purple time, of being invited, challenged, and reminded of the need to deal with issues that sit perhaps smouldering away in our lives. 5 weeks out of the 52. The things we've shelved, the things that we've, the rooms we haven't gone into, the stuff we have deferred. Lent is about putting that on the agenda in our journey to the cross and the resurrection. In wearing the cross in ash tonight, we will engage for ourselves that we grieve over the ways we fall short of the glory of God. That's a good start. Ashes on the forehead and a cross. You're here. It's good. It's a good start. My pastoral message is that we get on with it. We get on with it. We get on with the business of addressing these issues, cleaning house and letting go of whatever it may be. There's a lot of maturity, many years in this room here tonight. I may be speaking about things that have been part of your life so much that you think, well, that's me, that's who I am, that's how I am. End of story. Last night at Vestry, some of you were there. We were having a little discussion at one point about autumn cleaning. And I was reflecting on it later. Of course, the liturgical year doesn't quite work for us in the Southern Hemisphere. So in the Northern Hemisphere, where all this was devised, Easter is a spring event. And it dovetails very nicely that cleaning house, cleaning the church, cleaning your circumstances, spring cleaning, Easter. It's just a little cultural rhythm. But cleaning our house without getting Jungian on you is about cleaning us. It represents us. So, if there's something that prevents this, which might be the case, seek help. You're not alone in this, but deal with it. That's the challenge and the invitation of Lent. That's the follow through on this cross received in ashes. To paraphrase or to mirror James, ash without action is like faith without works. The sign and the symbol in themselves don't achieve anything. So as you come today to have the sign of the cross placed on your foreheads, rend your hearts as we heard in the scripture from Joel, I think it was, rend your hearts and not your garments. Let this acceptance indicate our willingness to embrace Lent repenting, perhaps particularly of our self-reliance, self-seeking, and appreciate the grace that is there for us as redeemed children of God, who have been saved, who are being saved, and who will be saved. Let the symbol tonight really mark a reality.